Please join me in saying the end of the call.
Time.
I'm sorry?
Will do.
Anna Bako.
Will do.
Anna Bako. Gedula Chimincha. Tatir. Terura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sagvenu. Aharenu. Nora. Ufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. Nagibor. Dorshe Yehudcha. Kevavat Shamrim. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem. Rakame Sidkatcha. Tamid Gamlem. Betet Resh, Sadi Tav Gimel. The letters Kaf that created the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation called Aryeh, the lion. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Set Nunayin Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yud Tav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Well, we're continuing from where we left off last night. If that works with you. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanehu Udlat Zimnin Yadihu Membet Yud 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 Min Yad 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 Ramuz Yavarechecha Ya'er Yisa Min Hashem 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 Dalet 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 Miyad Yad Yad Inun Ramizin V'Adonai Adonai Adonai V'Amar Hanavi Alayhu Hekol Hashem Hey, call Hashem, hey, call Hashem, Chema, V'hai netila biyad itat kenat. Chris, do you have a radio on? Radio or TV or something?
No, I don't have.
I'm
no,
hearing.
I don't have anything like that. No.
I'm hearing something. Do me a favor, turn the microphone on mute, and let me see if it stops.
Off.
Mute the microphone. You muted it? Okay, I can't hear you, so I don't know if you're speaking or you muted the microphone and that's why I can't hear you. Okay. Yeah, I'm good now. Whatever it was has stopped. The verse reads 3 times 14 equals 42. And the three yuds in three times hand are indicated in Hashem bless you. The Hebrew is Yevarechecha. Hashem makes his face to shine upon you. The Hebrew is Ya'er. And Hashem lift up his countenance to you. The Hebrew is Yisa. Of Yudke Vavke, Yudke Vavke and Yudke Vavke in the verses, meaning the three yuds in the three times Yudke Vavke in Hashem bless you, Hashem make his face to shine upon you, and Hashem lift up his countenance to you. The three dalets in three hands are implied in Adonai, Adonai, and Adonai. The prophet said them about them, the three times Yudke Vavke and three times Adonai, the temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem are these. This temple is the secret of Malchut that is called Adonai. Therefore, it repeats three times the temple of Hashem, which is the secret of three times Adonai and three times Yudke Vavke, as mentioned. Hence, the decree of washing the hands to indicate the secret of the 14 joints and the three times 14 in Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet, which is the secret meaning of three times Yudke Vavke and the three Adonai, as mentioned. In the priestly blessing that is composed of 15 words in 3 verses and 60 letters, in those verses, Hashem is mentioned 3 times. And when we see the word Yudke Vavke, we say the words Adonai. So in essence, there are 72 letters in those verses because of the Adonai that we are saying. The relationship, the yuds come from the Yudke Vavke, and there are 3 yuds that start those 3 verses. But there are also 3 times Yudke Vavke is there, so there's an additional 3 yuds. And there happens to be 3 additional yuds for a total of 9 yuds, which 90, 9 times 10, plus the kolel is 91, which is the unity of Adonai and the Tetragrammaton. 65 plus 26 is 91. So within the consciousness of both the blesser, which is the priest, and the blessee, which is the Israelis and the Levites, when they're hearing the priestly blessing, you have these different kavanot, one of which is that there are 3 yuds from the Yudke Vavke, and there are 3 dalads from Adonai, Aleph, Dalad, Nun, Yud. Therefore, there's 3 yads, Yud Dalad, which represents the word hand. So where are the 3 hands? Every human being has 2 hands. And God's involvement is considered a 3rd hand. And or, which we read earlier yesterday, the idea of the 14 parts of the body, of the human body, where we have 3 parts of the arm, 3 parts of the leg, that's a total of 6 on the right and 6 on the left, and then the head is the 13th, and the sexual organ is the 14th. So there's the 3 parts of the hand. There's the 3 hands that is being referred to in manifesting these blessings in our world. Now, if we take 3 times 91, it comes to the number 273, or 270. because we exclude the kolel and just look at the nine yuds, 90 times 3 is 270. 270 represents all 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet times the 10 sfirot within each of them for a complete structure. Again, a different kavanah having to do with manifestation. That's what the verse is referring to. All of these different letters and combinations. Verse 41. Vekal sitar mi gimul ampe chevan deinun Hashem, 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 umid lat karpe chevan. Welcome, we're in the middle.
Yeah, I saw that you got there a little bit late and I had to take a phone call, so I am here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're reading verse 41. Cool.
How are you doing?
I'm sorry? Did you ask something, Chris?
I just said hello to Ari.
Okay.
Yeah, hello.
Sarich lemecheve mikoach Adam. Vihu yud hevav he koach delay yud vav delet he aleph vav aleph vav he aleph umatronita la sharia bekoach delay bepirkin deit be'an ad deit avar minayhu zuchama. Shashivcha bisha pesula intu defasul uginda ukmuha mare madnitin yadayim mezuchamot pesulot lebracha. Every side of the three columns, chesed, gevurah, and tiferet, which are right, left, and central, that are 3 times 14, is comprised of the three faces of the living creatures, the lion, the ox, and the eagle, which are Yudke Vavke, Yudke Vavke, and Yudke Vavke. And the three wings in the living creatures are Dalet, Dalet, Dalet. That is 3 times Adonai, as mentioned. They all need to derive from the power, which is the Hebrew word koach, which has a gematria of 28, of man. That is Yudke Vavke, fully spelled with Alephs. That is Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph, which has the same numerical value as Adam, 45. His power, the fully spelled Yud Hey Vav Hey, again fully spelled, is Yud Vav Dalet, Vav Aleph Vav. Dalet Lamed Tav, Hey Aleph Aleph Lamed Pei, Vav Aleph Vav, Aleph Lamed Pei, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph Aleph Lamed Pei. These come to 28 letters that correspond to the 28 joints in the 10 fingers of the two hands. The queen does not dwell in his power in the 28 finger joints until all the filth of the wicked, unfit handmaid, wife to the unfit, is removed. Therefore, the sages of the Mishnah explained that dirty hands are unfit to make a blessing, because the handmaid rests upon them. You have to keep in mind, and because of not having enough time yesterday to finish, these two, the last verse and this verse, are different kavanah in what you are directed to think, to have consciousness as you do the action of hand washing in preparation of eating. And so to explain this in detail will take a little bit of time, so I'm going to try and do it briefly. But if you have questions, let me know. In Hebrew, the Kabbalists have taught us that every time we see a letter, we are actually saying the name of the letter as well as the letter itself. And that we also say one more iteration, because we had this discussion yesterday about the idea of the third vessel and that it's a different frame of reference. So we have a letter that we see in the Torah. We say that letter is the fully spelled out letter, even though it's part of a word. And we also are doing one more level. So in the Tetragrammaton, it's spelled Yud, Yud Vav Yud. Hey can be spelled three different ways. Hey Yud, Hey Hey, and Hey Aleph. Vav can be spelled two different ways. Vav Aleph Vav, or Valef Yud, Vav Yud Vav. And the final Hey, again, there's three different ways to spell the letter. The gematria, in each case, in the majority of cases, because sometimes you spell the vav, 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 and then you'd only have nine letters. But normally you spell yud, ke, vav, ke with 10 letters. Yud, vav, dalet, 3, hey, yud, 2, vav, aleph, vav, 3, hey, yud, 2, 2 plus 3 is 5, plus 2 is 7, plus 3 is 10. So we have 10 letters in the spelled out version. When you then take it to the next level, the Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet. The Vav is spelled Vav Yud Vav. The Dalet is spelled Dalet Nun Yud, or Dalet Lamed Taf, and so forth. You end up with 28 letters. In the second level, where we're spelling out the name, the first spelling of the letters, you can have different gematriot. You can actually have seven different gematriot. But we only typically use four of them. One that is all yuds has a gematria of 72, which relates to the 72 names of God. It relates to the level of Chachmah, because of the relationship in the spelling of Chachmah, which is 28 plus 45, excuse me, that's 73, so it's Chesed. But we speak of Chesed having risen to the level of Chachmah. So the spelling out that has a gematria 72 is the level of Chachmah. The spelling out that has the gematria of 63 is the level of Bina. The spelling out that is the level of Adam, 45, is Zeranpin. And the final spelling out is 52, is the level of Malchut. And all of this kavanot related to the 28 letters, which is the third spelling out, all of this verse that we just read is tying all of this together, and the verse that we read just before. So the last two verses, 40 and 41, are describing the kavanot that you try and remember as you wash your hands. And some people I've seen write out the kavanah, and because it's near water, they put some plastic over it, so it won't get soiled. But eventually you memorize it and you visualize it as you're doing the action. If there's no questions, I'm going to go on to verse 42. Ve'inun mayim ledacha yad tishar ya taman yad hashem da mayim deoraita diame. Ha'aretz inun sheretz, ma mo'il lon tevila, v'ha sheretz, shivcha bisha bedechon, v'gezel devidechon, v'gezel devirkan, degazlin lekud shabarichu, tila yade levarka, Bela yade maihu ihi bracha umaihi zuhama. This water is for cleansing the hand upon which the hand of Yudke Vavke rests, as mentioned nearby. The hand of Yudke Vavke is the water of the Torah. The ignorant people are considered like unclean reptiles, without knowledge of the Torah to take away their impurity. What good will immersing in water do them, holding in their hand that reptile, which is the wicked handmaid, stolen goods in their possession? The stolen blessings they stole from the Holy One, blessed be He. They do not know what a blessing is or what filth is. It's a nice verse of poetry. But it's a very real discussion, getting back to the earlier section of blessings, where we talked about when you don't bless for the food and you don't bless afterwards, you literally are stealing from Hashem. It is not a metaphor, it's a truth, because Hashem provides for every living creature. Every day. And if you eat without blessing, you are receiving something for nothing. That reception is going to create chaos in your life. That reception takes a kavanah, a consciousness that the only reason I'm eating is to provide a vessel to the Creator to share with. And that is the essence of the consciousness of receiving for the sake of sharing in the frame of eating. But it applies to almost every pleasure, every aspect of our lives. The only reason we receive is to provide the Creator a place to share. Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud used to say that Rabbi Akiva used to sit down at a table and said, "Badi, you're interrupting my Torah study, but I know you need the energy to stay alive, so go ahead and eat." There is much to be learned from that type of story. Among which is the body the soul? Is the body you? If the body's not you, then what is the body? If the body is not you, why are you here? What is you? Taking this conversation to deeper levels provides amazing meditations. Ultimately, you can reach a point where you literally know that your soul is something different than your body, that you are in partnership with the body, and you deal with it with the consciousness of the body is something that I need to utilize. It's like a horse. It carries me everywhere. But my purpose for existing is to receive in order to share. And so I'm now sharing with the body, who I control. I don't let the body lusts control me. And you eventually will arrive, and I have not reached that level, nor have I met anybody who has ultimately reached that level except reading about the Tzaddikim. You ultimately arrive at a level where the only reason you do something is for the Creator's ability to share with you. Verse 43. Miyad kesha shamnu milin ilain havraya va'ana imchon layakilna lamis baldi ashlim asra milin divraka deishtetachna legabe uvadai Late Barnash Diyama, Milini Lane Ella Ant Deant, Huke Gavna Da Dalid, Mechi Ipsot, De Gimel Ayan De Barnash, Albechon Mim Chitzat, Yanu Kin Veit Aved, Tinok Uvin Chitzat, Na'arim ve'itaved, na'ar uvim vim chitzat, bechurim ve'itaved, bechod uvit chitzat, zekenim ve'itaved, zakef ugimulkaf, itmar alach, mim kon shivto, ishgiach el kol yoshvei, Haaretz v'yanthu de'itmar, Alach v'shagam hu basar de'dara, De'dor haflaga havetz uvkol, Dara v'dara begilgula, Ke'galgal umit hapek, Lekama gavnin v'lag niglet, Ela b'dara de'itshiv, Immediately after the friends and myself heard these words, we could not stand to wait for him to finish all these 10 items pertaining to blessings. We prostrated ourselves before him and said to him, "Certainly there is no one who could speak these things except for you, since you are comparable to the four sections in the Garden of Eden. If a person enters the children's section, he becomes a child. In the youth section, he becomes a youth. In the young men's section, he becomes a young man. And in the old people's section, he becomes an old man. Hence it is written about you, from the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth," which the initials in Hebrew form the word Moses. "Also, it is about you that it says, for that he also," the Hebrew is Beshagam, "is flesh." The word Beshagam contains the letters of the word Moses, and it contains Men and Shin, and Bet and Gimel become the He. 2 + 3 = 5, Gematria. This is one of the letter substitutions that a lot of the criticism of gematria and letter substitution deals with. How do you get Moshe in the word Beshagam when there's no hay? The hay is there, it's concealed. The bet and the gimel together form the hay. "You were present in the generation of the Tower of Babel, and in every generation you return by incarnation, like a wheel that turns around in many ways. Yet you revealed yourself only at the generation when the Torah was given at your hands." Again, it's a nice poetic verse from the Zohar, but it's so much more than that. Just the idea of being able to say that I can look at a word and then manipulate that word with gematria so that I get to different letters that then spell other words. And this is the revelation, because the words themselves are the things, just as our name and our soul are the same thing. They're just two different frames of reference. So we think of them as metaphors for each other, but they're really not metaphors. They're unified. And the unity of the letters and the unity of the words and the unity of the things comes through from what's expressed in this verse. Verse 44. Miyadi at kenishat mi alma at hu b'shimsha denahir b'kol dara v'dara dekad itkana shimsha b'leilya nahir b'sichara u'shitin ribo kochavaya haki at di ant nahir B'shitin ribo b'kol dara b'dara b'chayihu deka ramaz kohelet dor cholech v'dor badi oknucha rabbanan ein dor pachut mishishim ribo v'yod uknucha chador shacholech hu shava L'kayem ma shechaya hu shehiye mikan ve'elach ashlim asra devarim defa Torah ve'itgalya amar raya dehemana botzina kadisha zaka'a hula akach dekutsha barichu Galei lach madela, galei lekol navi, echoze velalaman ulman. As soon as you departed from the world, you became like a sun that shines in every generation. Even when the sun is gathered at night, it illuminates the moon and 600,000 stars. So are you who shine on the 600,000 people in each and every generation. That is what Kohelet indicated in the verse. One generation passes away, and another generation comes. The sages have explained that a generation does not consist of less than 600,000 people. They also explain this verse to mean the generation that passes away is the one that comes. That is, the souls of the previous generation reincarnate and come in the following generation. This fulfills the verse, that which has been, it is that which shall be. From here on, complete the 10 items about Shabbat Tepel openly. The faithful shepherd said to Rabbi Shimon, Holy Luminary, blessed is your lot, that the Holy One, blessed be He, reveal to you what He has not revealed to any prophet or seer. A generation is 600,000 people. There's somewhere around 12 million Jewish souls revealed in the world. There's got to be a significant amount of more than that if we find the 10 lost tribes, all of those people who think they're not Jewish who have Jewish souls. We have a tradition that says that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, one for each of the 600,000 who walked in the desert. The males over 20. When we had computers the last 20 years, we found there's only 304,000 letters in the Torah. Not the Chumash, the whole Torah. Including the writings, including the prophets. 300,000, 304,000. So we have had some difficulty reconciling all of that. We have a tradition that says that Moses' soul is the equivalent of the 600,000 Jewish souls. do we measure? How do we account? And this verse is explaining relativity. Not the relativity that Albert Einstein limited, but the relativity that Rabbi Ashlag revealed in 1903, 2 years before Einstein. The relativity that the Sephirah above shares with the receiver below, while the receiver below shares with the vessel below him or it. And therefore, a vessel can be both a receiver and a sharer. And therefore, everything in the universe becomes relative. And we always must think in terms of relativity as a step in the process of reaching higher consciousness. Verse 45. Tinyana lemivtsa al shene kicharot b'shabati inun remizin bitre luche oraita tit yehivu b'shabat zugot divyoma Talita anachtu teve tire zimnei tov ushabat yitivat tire nukvin litrein tavin via agidi ukmuha teshedim memunin al zugot kimadi ukmuha shene betzim Shine egozim halakad lemoshe misinai shiluche mitzvah einan nezokif. The second setting regarding Shabbat table is to break bread over two loaves of bread on Shabbat, which are alluded to in the two tablets of the Torah that were given on Shabbat in pairs. On the third day, that is Tiferet, they descended from heaven, on which it was said twice good, since it comprises right and left. On Shabbat, which is Malchut, the Torah was given in which in Malchut there are two females, one from the chest of Zeranpin, and upward, and one from the chest of Zeranpin downward. These are two females which correspond to twice good, said on the third day, which is Tiferet. Though it was explained that demons are assigned to harm pears, as has been explained that one must not eat two eggs or two walnuts, yet if this is so, why are two loaves of bread used on Shabbat, seeing they are a pair? He responds, it is a usage dating from Moses as delivered from Sinai, that those sent on pious missions will meet no evil. Therefore, there is no need to fear performing a precept due to it being in pairs. Either of you guys want to try and explain that verse? There is a old wives' tale, of course, which is not an old wives' tale, that says don't eat two eggs, don't eat two walnuts, do anything in pairs. Because pairs, the number two, innately is not the number one. It is a separation concept. It's built into the number two that it means separation. So if you consume two of something, if you deal with two of something, you are connecting to the energy of separation. But here it's explaining that the precept and almost all all of the different religious communities all use two Shabbat challahs on Shabbat, and they're justifying in this verse, they're explaining why it's okay to use two, because you're doing a mitzvah. As Tamar just walked in and said, Shamor v'zachor, remember and guard, remember and keep. The duality of the two luchot, the duality of doing a mitzvah which unifies, that concept is what protects you from being damaged by doing things with two. And especially on Shabbat, a day in which there is no separation unless your consciousness creates it. I did not realize how long this particular section is. There's another 12 pages to go, so we won't finish today either. Verse 46. Ve'itema ve'hatanenan ein matchilin b'shani sheni ve'ein nesaymin b'dalet d'chaynu b'bet dalet im erev rav dila havo sheluche mitzvah dila itgayru l'shem shemayim ulbatar de'itabaru Me alal alma mane kucha barichu lenat la shene luchot avanim barishonim veamar vekatavti al haluchot et hadvarim asher hayu al haluchot vechomer. I just remembered that I wanted to remind you what I had said yesterday about the Kabbalists not using two chalot on their Shabbat table. They use 12, 6 male and 6 female, just like the showbread in the temple. And those 12 represent the mazalot. They represent the astrology influences. And by meditating on the relationship of bread, lechem, 78, 3 times 26, and connecting the shoresh of lechem, which is war, melacha, and recognizing that you're, by eating this bread, you're actually going to war against the desire to receive for oneself alone. You help to take control of the mazalot and only allow the positive influences to come into your sphere, into your essence, and eliminate the negative. And it's very much a protection shield, as taught by King David. Continuing to read in English, verse 46. You may wonder why we learn that one should not begin anything on the second day of the week or finish something on Wednesday, meaning on the second and the fourth, because they are pairs, which applies to matters of precepts as well. Even though those sent on pious missions will merit no evil, he answers, this is when with the mixed multitude. That is, when the children of Israel are mingled with the mixed multitude who are never sent on pious missions because they have not converted for heaven's sake, then it is forbidden to begin on Monday or Wednesday. However, the righteous who have no connection with the mixed multitude may start on Monday and Wednesday for the sake of performing a precept, because those sent on a pious mission shall come to no harm. Therefore, after they were gone from the world, after the sin of the golden calf, the Holy One, blessed be He, commanded to take two tablets of stone like the first. saying, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets. And he did not mind the pears. The Mukubalim suggests that we not start anything on Monday, the second day of the week, nor complete anything on Wednesday, the fourth day of the week. Another wives' tale, another superstition. The Kabbalists are filled with them, of course. And I hope you realize I'm joking, because they're not superstitions. They're very real. If you take a new job, Ari soon and Chris soon, Bezrat Hashem, do not start on Monday. Don't finish your job you're working at on Wednesday. Why not on Monday? Because it's the second day of the week. It implies separation. Why not on Wednesday? Because the sun and moon were created on Wednesday, and the moon was asked to diminish herself, and she complied. And so that energy of diminishment is going to be attached to anything that is completed that day. These wives' tales that you've heard and used to laugh at because you were scientifically based and logical, there's a reason behind each and every one of them. Once you know the reason, you can have the choice. Of course, if you're doing a mitzvah, if you're doing an errand for the sake of heaven, there should be no problem. And that's why there's two luchot, with five on each. Two tablets, five Eser Dibrot on each of them. Why not three and seven to explain the Sefirot? Why five and five? It's a question for another day. Verse 47. Litrein kikarot b'shabbat remizin, litrein yodin ya'achu novanahi, di Adonai ihi yuhida mi bala bishit, yomim dechol b'shabbat nachit legaba uvgin kta, b'shabbat ko bishmatin, Beruchin, benafshin, nafkin, benachtin, zugot, ve'ein, satan, ve'ein, mazin, shalit, beyoma, deshabta, beafilu, gehinom, la shalit, belaukid, beshabbat, uginda, Lo tevaru esh bekol moshvotechem Bayom ha-shabbat veda esh nukraya Ela esh dekarbana esh dikdusha Velet liarka'a bivtsia deilchon Deha itmar le'ela. The two loaves of bread on Shabbat indicate the two yuds in the combination of yud-ke, vav-ke, and Adonai, which is yud-aleph, hey-dalad, vav-nun, hey-yud. For Adonai, which is Malchut, is alone without her husband, which is yud-hey-vav-hey, during the 6 weekdays, because they are not then in a complete union. On Shabbat, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei descends to Adonai, and the combination is formed of Yud-Aleph, Hey-Dalet, Vav-Nun, Hey-Yud. Therefore, the two loaves of bread are used to indicate the two Yuds at the beginning and the end of this combination of the name Yud-Aleph, Hey-Dalet, Vav-Nun, Hey-Yud. Hence, all Nishamot, Ruchot, and Nefashot leave and come down in pairs on Shabbat, and no devil or demon has power on Shabbat day. Even Gehinnom has no power and does not burn on Shabbat. Therefore you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on Shabbat day. That refers to strange fire, but the fire of sacrifice is a fire of holiness, which is permissible in the temple on Shabbat. Thus we need to take two loaves of bread on Shabbat, and not to be afraid of pears. There is no need to speak at length on the subject of their apportioning, meaning about the measure of an olive size or at an egg size, as it was already explained above. If you'll remember, the olive size is the yud of Adonai, and the egg size is the yud of the Tetragrammaton, yud ke vav ke. The verse is really somewhat self-explanatory, but nowhere in the Zohar is it ever self-explanatory. It needs Rabbi Ashlag's understanding and expansion and commentary for us to truly understand it. And there's a verse in this verse, there's a part of this verse that leaves an opening for doing cooking on Shabbat when the Orthodox is very clear that it's not to be done. And I once spoke with a conservative rabbi who told me that it was there, not in the Zohar. He was referring to the halakha that the conservative movement follows. But here it's the opening is there. But if I went to Tamar and said it's okay to cook, she would fight me tooth and nail. And so I'm not even about to try. We already said that. Okay, the next verse is going into a different subject, so I'm going to stop here at verse 47, okay. And tomorrow we'll start at verse 48. Does anybody have any questions? Ari, did you fall asleep last night? I expected some questions from you. I'm not criticizing, I'm just questioning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I had this off. I heard you. No, I was up. I went through the whole thing. I just listened. Just
okay.
One of those quiet nights. I did have a question though. Could you go back over what you don't do on a Tuesday? You never end things on a Wednesday, and something about Tuesdays because of pears. Can you just brief over that one more time?
Not just Tuesdays, on Mondays.
So you don't begin on Mondays.
You don't begin on Mondays. You don't end on Wednesdays.
Okay. All right. And the summation that I'm getting here is that you want to avoid pears. Like you said, two eggs or anything. If you're going to do anything, you want to do it either one or three.
Correct. You try and avoid pears because the number two has this energy of separation built into it.
Huh. You mean as though they're opposites, or?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to think in terms of what does two actually represent? So what is the second day of the week? It's Monday. What do we all refer to it as? Blue Monday. Why is it Blue Monday? Because it's not the weekend. It's not Sunday.
Okay.
It's not unified. It has built into it the whole essence of separation that is not necessarily bad, because male and female is separation, because a soul is male and female together in unity.
Okay.
So duality is not necessarily bad, but it can be. And so we are to be building a fence and protection shield. We avoid duality. We avoid twos. But, you know, we have two testicles. We have two kidneys. We have two lungs. We have two arms, two legs. You know, our body is there. There's two columns, but there's also a central column balancing them.
Okay. Yeah, so what it might appear to be two might in fact be three in reality.
And that's exactly when you look closely at the words in Genesis, the word tov is not said at the second day, but the word tov meod is said at the third day. And it's saying that the Kabbalists comment two things. They comment tov meod. Meod means the angel of death was created in potential on the second day. And that's okay. Also good.
Okay. Okay.
So how
all
is
right,
death
I got it straight here.
You know, we have to understand the idea of what is negativity, what is the purpose of negativity, and, you know, how it motivates us and so forth.
Right. Well, death isn't negative.
Well, death isn't death. It's the beginning of a new frame of reference.
Right, right, exactly.
Actually, an old frame of reference, but that's another discussion.
Okay. All right. So we start again at normal time.
Yeah, I'm sorry we were a little bit late today.
I got on a phone call as you know, I was just waiting for you to appear there, and then all of a sudden my screen went into silent mode, and I didn't see the time. So
no problem.
I can catch up with that. I can just catch up. You'll post that anyway.
Yes.
On the site. So
yeah,
that's not a problem.
Hopefully by the weekend, it's you know.
That's
fine.
Really, and that's usually when I catch up and redo it.
Yeah, I'm running very late because of the preparation I need to do for the.
For the holidays,
preparing people for the holidays and explaining what Tshuva is and how to do it. And
yeah,
so
it all starts on September. Yeah, it starts on September 1.
Well, it actually starts on August 30th.
Or August 30th, yeah.
The first night.
Rosh Kodesh.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on my schedule here. I see it. And you said we're going to do something on Rosh Kodesh anyway next week. Or
you'll be getting an email from me hopefully tonight or if not tomorrow explaining.
Okay.
But basically Tuesdays at 9 o'clock I'll be doing classes on preparation for the holidays starting with Rosh Kodesh next Tuesday.
Okay. Perfect. And then are we doing Zohar then?
Yes, we'll be doing Zohar every day, Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, got it.
So, there's one more parasha where the Zohar isn't there. But again, there's enough material in the previous week, so we'll just continue it.
Okay, sounds good. Very good, then I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Any questions, Chris, before we go take off? Have a good one.
Okay, thanks much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.